This is State of the Union on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. This is the DC 37 radio show. DC 37 is New York City's largest public employee union with 125,000 members and 50,000 retirees. We're part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. We're on the air Sundays at 8 p.m. We rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. We are also now available on podcast on iTunes. You simply go to the podcast app on your iPhone or iPad and search for DC 37 State of the Union. If there's anything about this show you want to comment on, please feel free to drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. And DC 37 members, there are now more ways to stay in touch with your union. You can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can check out our website, www.dc37.net. And every month, you can keep a lookout for your union newspaper, the Public Employee Press, in your mailbox. And on this show, we're going to be discussing the four-month-old strike held by field and cable workers at Spectrum and members of Local 3, IBEW, against the Spectrum Cable Company and its parent company, Charter Communications. In the studio with us now to discuss this are Derek Jordan. He's Local 3's business representative, representing the Electronic Tech Division, and Local 3 member Carrega Bennett. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So, 4 months on strike. What are the key issues? Let's begin with what the key issues are in this strike and why you're out.
Well, Chris, first I want to say thank you to you and DC 37 for inviting us on the show and to fill the public in on what exactly is going on. There are several main issues, but the key issues involve the pension and medical. There's also an issue involving the subcontracting, where the company wants to subcontract out the work to subcontractors, and they want the ability to lay off the in-house people. And that's never been an issue before. So we basically want to protect the things that we've had and maintained in the contract for over 40 years.
Is this connected to – now, Spectrum has been – Spectrum was Time Warner Cable. Are these issues with Time Warner Cable that have come to a head, or is this something new about Spectrum?
These are issues more or less you could say they've come to a head. They've probably been boiling since about 2013. We have not had a contract with Time Warner Cable since 2013. There was a federal ruling that stated there was no meeting of the minds, no agreement. And again, we haven't had a contract since 2013, although the company insists and they say we believe that we have an agreement. There hasn't been an agreement. So those issues have been boiling over since about 2013.
You know, I spent a lot of time on the Upper West Side, and there is a Spectrum store on 96th and Broadway. And in front of that store for the past few months have been Spectrum workers. And in the morning, you can see a lot of people going to work, and I just know that there are people who are curious about but don't know very much about the issues of this. And many of them are Spectrum customers who are just going in who don't really know what's going on. Carrega, have you ever been on strike before?
No, sir. This is my first time on strike. It's an eye-opener.
And how did you come to this decision that it was time to go out?
Well, for me, again, it's just trying to have the foresight to say, well, do I want to take the short term? Well, here's some money now. Or do I look at the big picture? Like, I'm a single male, no kids. You know, when I want to have a family, and I have friends, I have coworkers and friends who do have family, and I can see in my own two eyes how expensive it is to have a family in New York City. You know, and if I want to be able to have a family, I need to know that the peace of mind of saying, hey, if my kids get sick, going to the doctor. You know, just childbirth alone. You know, I have coworkers that one guy, he just had his first child, and when he, you know, he Local 3, he had his first child, the bill was at least close to $20,000, and he ended up paying I think maybe $200 out of pocket. You know, and
so you're talking about holding on to holding on to protections that allow you to live
exactly
a decent life in the city.
Exactly. It's not a money, you know, a money thing. You know, you can always work and save up, but as far as, you know, none of us have, at least my guys, nobody I really know, nobody has $20,000 that's set to the side as, God forbid I fall off a roof, or God forbid I, you know, if I get hit by a car, or God forbid something happens to my back. You know, I don't have money like that, you know, so, and one time I'm going to be married and tell my wife, well, we can't have kids because I can't afford childbirth. If that's the case, get a kid back.
Right.
You know, things like that. Those are the things for
you
me.
You can't give back the kid.
Yeah, you can't. I can't, like, well, doc, 20 grand, you keep that one. I can't do that. But, you know, for me, my biggest thing was, you know, I was raised, again, I was in the military. I was, you know, certain things that were instilled in me is, you know, we're intelligent enough to not take the, you know, if somebody says, here goes a dollar. Okay, but what's behind that? I'm not going to take the short, because there's always something else behind it. And in this case, well, we're trying to give you, you know, the company offered out their first, you know, their first proposal that they put out. They didn't even, before they even got to negotiations, they put it out, like, and we're like, well, why are they telling us? Aren't you supposed to be negotiating with the union? We have collective bargaining. I think it's, you know, collective. You're not supposed
to be. This is a tactic known as undermining the union.
Exactly. So, you know, again, coming for guys like me a lot, like, again, this is my first union job. This is my first strike, you know. So, you know, I'm seeing it like, what's this about? And they're like, hey, we're trying to give you a bigger raise than the union's asking for. Well, that doesn't really sound right to me, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong, something, but a lot of us have questions about it. And, you know, I'm lucky enough to have a lot of older, you know, older guys in my corner that I can go to, you know, leadership at the union and just, you know, foremans as well. You know, and they said, no, this is what's really happening. Don't just look at the shiny coin, because there's something behind it. And once we did the digging, you saw, okay, well, they're trying to give you, you know, $3 or $4 now, but then you're going to have to pay for medical, dental, vision, and then, you know.
Right, at a time when these costs are going up.
It's going out. You know, they had, you know, even then, once they did a proposal, they would have meetings at our shops, because every shop. When I say shop, you have the payment center, like the center you talked about on 96th Street uptown. Those, you have payment centers, and then you have, we call them, our shops are the shops where the technicians come out of, where we work out of our garages. So you have one in Jamaica. You have one in Page Avenue. You have one in, I believe it's downtown Brooklyn.
Okay.
I think Sunset Park. And then you have another one. It's called Northern. That's, I think that's in 218 or 207, 219 Street in the Bronx. So those are the hubs. That's where we get our equipment. That's where the techs roll out of. So whenever you see a technician, you know, with the shirt and the logo, we're in-house technicians. So the company had, like, before the strike happened, they had management going out, and, like, I think at one point they had, like, the new VP coming out and having morning meetings, like, hey guys, I just want to let you know what's going on. And, you know, like, well, with charters, medical, it's so great. And that's where, you know, that's where my younger guy, Joe, his whole childbirth story came up. Because he asked the vice president, the new marketing lady, she said she had the meeting, and he said, oh, I got a question. She said, oh, yeah, well, I had LASIK and I only paid, like, you know, $2,000. Well, Joe said, I just had a baby and the bill was like 20 grand. I paid $200.
Right.
Whose medical is really...
And you're talking about something where it's not that the workers are opposed to talking to management and having... But do not go around the union. I mean, this is...
Exactly.
I mean, it's a very simple rule. And when you see folks going around the union, they're not doing that because they love you. They're
exactly.
doing that because they're trying to, you know, move the union out
exactly.
of the
Exactly. You know, that we can see it. You know, again, being a technician, it's, you know, you do have to have some wherewithal as to what's going on. You know, granted, some guys come into this job, some guys have been in this job, you know, 30, 40 years. A lot of the junior guys, like myself included, you came into this job, you know, under, you know, knowing that, hey, I can build a career here.
Right.
You know,
right,
I'm gonna come in at like a tech one, I'm gonna work, I'm gonna learn the system, I'm gonna earn, I can have, this can be a career, not just a job. It seems like what they're trying to do now is they're putting so many roadblocks in the way where no one will ever get past a tech one or tech two. And then you'll say, you know what, what am I doing here? I'm breaking my back. Because, again, we work out. We work 24 hours a day. We work rain, sleet, hail, snow. I'm a residential technician. So I work all year round. And, again, it's in all weathers. I work in Queens in Far Rockaway, if anybody's familiar with that. And the Rock is right by the beach, so I get the colds of the colds, I get the hottest of the hots. And right. I'm in the lowest of the lows, all the way out to Breezy Point, you know, different income levels and different, you know, socioeconomic things. And, you know, I'm doing that every day. So should I really have the same coverage? You know, I'm exposed to more health hazards than a person standing in, you know, the payment center and just
right
changing your box every day. Me, I'm climbing a ladder and almost risking getting electrocuted. I'm on rooftops, I'm in crawl spaces, you know, things like that. I'm going from hot to cold consistently. And then if I get sick, you know.
And you're not asking for, you're not saying this as in woe is me. This is the job.
This is the job. This is what you signed up for. You know, when you come in, this is what you know what it is. You right. know, you know, this is it's not an easy job, right. but it's a career. And again, I'm speaking for my mindset is the mindset that a lot of guys have coming in, because I came into this, you know, again, like coming out of the service. I was at Dish Network for a year. Then I came here. I know what I'm getting into. I know the type of job, you know. It's not something where you come in and they say, hey, you're going to be in the front, you're going to be in the office all day, and then, you know, 2 months later, listen, well, you're going to go outside and carry a 20-foot ladder, and you know what you're – we're not inside people. We're not office people.
So you like the gig, and you just want to be able to afford to do
that. That's it. You know, none of us are driving Benzes, nobody. I want to be able to have a home life and say, you know what, I came in as a Tech 1. I worked my way up to Tech 2, 3, 4, to Tech 5, and I've learned the system. And then, you know, I mastered my craft. I've mastered my trade. You know,
I want to be a proud employee. Yeah. Don't mess with me.
You know, I mean, it's one of those things where they put the roadblocks, and the roadblocks are some of the things that, as you know, as Derek explained to you, the roadblocks are some of the things that they're putting into place where as far as your progression. So one thing right now that we're arguing about is that, again, when I say arguing, meaning that they're negotiating, is it's a tactic of it's the repeat calls. And the technician, a repeat call is where a technician would come to your home today. Yes. He would come to your home. You would have a service call for whatever it is, remote, cable, internet speed, whatever the case is. So he would fix it, you know, and he would leave. If you call back within the next 30 days, be it for anything, be it, you know, if I come to your home today and, you know, everything's working, and yet next week HBO is not working, it says, please call this channel. Or, you know, if you say, hey, my internet's slow, if you call back within those 30 days for anything, I get penalized for it. The technician that was there.
No matter what the cause of the problem
is. The technician gets penalized for it. So now when the next guy comes in, you know, most customers are going to say, hey, I had somebody here 2 weeks ago and he fixed this. And now this is going on. And again, 90% of the time, it has nothing to do. One has nothing to do with the other. You know, don't get me wrong. There are cases where they are relevant. They are connected. You know, there are issues as outside issues, what we call plant. That would be escalated up to the engineering guys. You know, and again, the engineering guys are technicians. We're all technicians. And,
well, we're getting a little in the weeds, bro.
it's an outside issue. It's a bigger issue than in your home.
Right.
So when the next guy comes in, you're saying, hey, you know, he would fix it. That strike, because you call back in 30 days, it goes against the first guy. So now when I go to, now if I'm a Tech 1 and when I go to, you know, do my advancement books, you know, I go do my advancement books, they would say, hey, you have so many repeat calls. But then again, we keep a log sheet. Most techs keep a log sheet of their, you know, the jobs that they've done for the last 30, 40 days. Because again, I do about 5 to 6 jobs a day.
All right, we have to take a break. I didn't mean to interrupt the flow of your thought.
No problem.
But we're talking with Correga Bennett.
Yes, sir.
And Derek Jordan.
Yes.
And we'll be right back.
Were you a September 11th responder or volunteer? Were you present at the dust cloud on 9/11? Do you live, work, or go to school in the New York City disaster area on 9/11 or in the following months? Do you now suffer from problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, or have other symptoms? If so, you may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program and could receive medical monitoring and treatment at no out-of-pocket cost to you. To learn more about the program and get an application, go to www.cdc.gov/WTC or call 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care. Call today, 1-888-982-4748. 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care.
We're back. This is State of the Union, the DC 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. We're talking with Karega Bennett and Derek Jordan. They are Local 3 IBEW members. And we're talking about the Spectrum strike, a strike which is now in its fourth month. And which basically, there was an ad this week in the Daily News, which said basically Spectrum is not treating its workers fairly, and that there are certain issues involved in this, and this is how we got to where we are. And Derek, why don't you take us through some of that? Also, we're doing this show because, you know, we're public employees. We cannot go on strike, but we are showing our solidarity on the issues and for our fellow workers. And also, we get the feeling that probably your story is not being told as much as you would like it to be told, because that's the world that we live in. I imagine you're not getting too much coverage on New York One, for example.
Absolutely no coverage on New York One.
Which is owned by
Charter Spectrum, exactly. Real quick, I just want to tell you a funny story. New York One covered the rat population story last month, and they were actually up at 96 in Broadway, which you know where that is. That's one of the Charter Spectrum payment centers. And one of our guys, who was a shop steward, ran over to the New York One person and said, "Hey, we're on strike over here. Will you cover us?" And they says, "No, your story is not big enough." But yet they covered the rat population story. What was really funny about that was that a picture was sent to us where one of our members actually had a chance to hold up the strike sign behind the reporter. Show. It was great. It was like
photobombed,
yes,
New York One,
which was fantastic. But you know, as far as the media coverage, we know we've been shut out. Our members have been doing all they can as far as social media, Twitter, Facebook. We actually have a blog that's run by the members. It's nycabletruth.blogspot.com.
And do that slow.
It's nycabletruth.blogspot.com.
Okay.
And it's factual information from the members who are on strike. It's really good stuff there. So if you get a chance, check out that blog. It's up to date.
And the Daily News, you say?
News has been great. Ginger Otis, she's been fantastic. She's covered our rally. She's covered our picket lines. She's been there from day one, and we want to thank the Daily News and Ginger Otis.
All right.
They've been great.
Go ahead, Karega.
We've had, this is the spring battle for what Derek said with the media coverage. We've had two rallies in the city. In front of the Spectrum, where's the location?
23rd Street.
23rd Street.
120 East 23rd Street.
The first one, I think, was within the first month of the strike. It was majority union members. It was about close to 2,000 people, because it was union members, family members, plus 2,000 people on 23rd Street.
We've also had the local politicians.
Well, hold on a second. You had a rally.
So we had a rally. 2,000 people on 23rd Street.
Right.
That doesn't make any kind of red flag in New York, right? Okay. Think about that. And then we had a second rally with more politicians came out, because we've been having a lot of support from council members. We've gone to City Hall. We've had a City Hall. If you go, I forgot the date, but we did the whole, it was the franchise meeting at City Hall. And it was pretty much the entire City Hall was Local 3 Spectrum employees. We were the last one of the day. And if anybody goes to City Hall and check it, goes on their records, you'll see that all of the council members pretty much dug in, so they can see what it is. Like, well, wait a second, you're negotiating, but you're not. You know, you're not negotiating. You know, negotiation is a case of, you know, hey, this is what I'm offering. Let's talk about it. It's not a negotiation. This is what I'm giving you.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
That's what they did. And these are all the council members are seeing this.
Derek, you were going to mention who has weighed in on this, following up on Corrego talking about the elected officials. So
yes.
Who
has? Well, we have strong support from the mayor's office. The governor is behind us also. We have Chuck Schumer. I have to also mention we have the IBEW as a whole, the international, and that includes the president. We have our business manager, Local 3, also. I mean, there's a lot of people that are behind us and very supportive of our cause, and we appreciate that.
And when the governor and the mayor say, we support you, they're calling upon Spectrum to do something?
Yes, to get back to the table and negotiate a fair agreement. There's a lot of things happening behind the scene right now, and, you know, I'm hoping that we're back to the table soon.
And one thing, as we talk about your friend who's trying to figure out how his wife would give birth in a world where he did not have insurance coverage. One thing that, as we balance that out against, you have to realize that the man who runs Charter Communications is the highest paid chief executive officer in the country, who I
yes.
believe made $90 million.
$98.5 million.
So, and
yes.
Let's put this all into perspective, because there's a bigger story out there about who actually profits from the work that's being done and the services that are being delivered. And this is not to, and once again, I want to say this, because everybody, every time I say this, people say, oh, you're against rich people. There is nothing wrong with being rich. It's, but there is a certain bit of fairness in
yes.
all of this, as to making sure that your friend can, wife can give birth to a child without them having to worry about losing their house as a result of it.
Pretty much.
And that's all connected in terms of fair wages.
Yes.
And to get that done properly, you have to get back to the table.
The system of collective bargaining. One thing I want to stress, Chris, is that we've had over 40-year, when I say we, meaning Local 3, 40-year bargaining relationship, okay, with the company when they were Manhattan Cable, when they were Time Warner Cable. All of a sudden, it's Charter Spectrum, and things fall apart. So don't you think that the problem doesn't exist within the union?
Right.
A new company
right.
comes in. The city council also pointed that out at the franchise agreement hearings. It says, hey, you know what? There's never been a problem. All of a sudden, you come in, and now there's a problem. So I think that should be looked at and evaluated by everyone.
And Eric Schneiderman, the attorney general.
The attorney general's lawsuit is basically they're looking at, again, I'm not an attorney general, I'm not a lawyer, I can speak from what I've seen. It's basically about how customers are treated as far as when the internet and the service you're paying for. So you're paying for a package, you're not getting those speeds, because nowadays internet is, it's like another light. You need that. You need
yes,
it nowadays.
You do.
So a lot of customers, they're paying for, you know, these services, they're not getting it. So you're defrauding your customers, because you're charging them. When you call up right now and say, hey, I need a service, I need an install, they're gonna say, all right, we have this package. Again, I'm not sales, but they're telling customers one thing and they're not living up to that. And it's been system wide. If you look, or people, you know, do your research, you'll see it across the country. This has been a big thing. You know, where a lot of these states, the attorney generals in different states have seen it. You're not off. You're not being consistent, but yet you're getting that money every single month.
And Eric Schneiderman is looking into this.
Being sued for fraudulent business practices.
Eric Schneiderman is the attorney general of the state of New York.
Yes.
Also, one thing, like, I just want to go back to what you said as far as the disparity between who makes the most money. Look, like you said, none of us, we're not asking. I'm not asking for $100,000 raise. I'm not. Just want to be able to work. We're working outside, rain, sleet, hail, snow, freezing our butts off. You know, every day it's a hard job. We know we sign up for, but at the end of the day, I got to pay so much. My check is going to nothing. So I'm bad enough. I'm not home to be with my family if I have a family, but then I can't even support my family. Again, nobody's asking for so much. It's just fairness. Like, you know, it's just fair. Like, we're the ones that you see. We're the front line.
Right,
the cable customers see the cable guy.
Right.
They don't see the CEOs. They don't see the business managers. They don't see the lawyers. They see me every day, and I'm out here struggling. Damn, I gotta sleep in my car because I can't. I've been on strike 4 months now. I can't even pay my rent. You know, it's frustrating. It's stressful. It's just one. It's like, you know, for people to be outside going right now, living on a third, if that, because unemployment's not much. Everybody can't do Uber. everybody can, you know what I mean? Some of us got to like try to like deliver pizzas and, you know.
And so, it is a tough step to make. And when you made it, eyes wide open.
Yeah, it's an eye opener. At first, it was, you know, granted, even though, you know, it was like, hey, we're going to go on strike. You kind of, we took the vote and we knew. But again, people were striking for a cause, you know, and it's really a slap in the face to see, you know, to see, you don't see the media coverage, you know, we don't even have cable. When we went out on strike, we didn't have courtesy cable. We had like a discount. The employees had employees got a discounted service. When we went on strike, by that Sunday, they changed everybody's bill. So right now you were paying like, you know, customers are paying like maybe like $100 to $150 for their cable service for the month. The union employees, they were paying maybe about $50 for the month. You know, because again, we're in it.
Right.
But here's the thing, right. We're union.
Your discount was gone.
No. But here's the thing, though. And that's before, then the non-union, the guys in the customer service centers, from the day they get hired, they get free service. So you already saw the disparity where if you're non-union, you get free service, but you're union, you get a discount. Okay, cool. After the first weekend we went on strike, they automatically changed everybody's bill to, now your bill went from one, remember you had $50 discounted service, so you might have had 4 or 5 boxes and internet. Now your bill shot up to $400 a month. One weekend. With no notice. So they didn't tell you like, hey, James, we're going to change your package. It was just, now your bill is, how's my bill $400?
Right.
That's not an unfair, you know, we have a contract. You have a contract with a customer, so I'm just going to change your bill 200% next week. These are things they're doing. And again, when a lot of people see Spectrum, they see Spectrum's a new company. No, it's the same thing. Charter bought Time Warner. And then you had the other cable company. So now it's just rebranded Spectrum. So a lot of people always get that misconstrued and say, well, when it was Time Warner was a different company, it's the same company. You know, the things that are going on as far as with the business practices back then, again, remember, technicians and business practices, two totally different things. We just fix and make sure you're getting your service to the best of our ability.
One thing I want to stress, Chris, is that the members are not asking for more than anything that they've ever had. And what we want to do is get back to the table. We want to bargain a fair agreement. The workers right now and their families are suffering. So it's not just the workers and the members on strike. It's the families that are on strike and the families that are hurting. And again, we need to get back to the table. We need to get a fair agreement. And we need to move on into the future.
And you did say before, we got about 1 minute left before we go, you did say that there may be light at the end of the tunnel, and we're hoping for that. And
yes, I mean, with all the support we have behind us from the mayor's office, you know, we're hoping that we can reach a solution
and make something happen here.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what the members are looking for.
Okay, we've been talking with Karega Bennett and Derek Jordan, members of Local 3 of IBEW. I want to say, listen, thank you guys for coming in and talking to us.
Chris, we thank you.
And wish you all the best.
Thank you.
And see you soon, brothers.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Before we go, we've got a couple of announcements. The Municipal Housing Program holds its annual housing fair on Saturday, August 5th at 10 a.m. at Union Headquarters. For details, call 212-815-1814. You can join the DC 37 family at Harlem Week. That's Sunday, August 20th at noon at 135th Street between Malcolm X and Frederick Douglass Boulevards. For details, call 212-815-1000. And the Municipal Employees Legal Services reminds you that they provide legal representation to members when applying for citizenship. For more information, call 212-815-1818. I want to thank our guests, Local 3 of IBEW's Derek Jordan and Karega Bennett. And the producer is Rudy Orozco. The sound engineer is Andrea Manocchio. I am Chris Policano. Until next time, ciao.